The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Thanks for downloading the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dann with a story this week from the world of online audio. And no, it's not Serial, although I was delighted to hear that BBC Radio 4 Extra has started to broadcast that. For the first time, I think, a radio programme has started life as a podcast and turned into a broadcast. I wonder if podcasting has finally reached its tipping point 10 years after the word was first coined. But if internet-only programmes are flourishing, what about internet-only radio stations? Well, this week, one of them announced its reopening only a couple of weeks after it announced it was closing down. Solid Gold Gem AM describes itself as radio like it used to be. And to tell us more, I'm joined on the line from Portugal by a DJ like they used to be. He was the first morning show presenter on Metro in Newcastle. He worked for Piccadilly, now Key 103 in Manchester, and he spent 17 years on air and as head of music and programmes at Radio Trent in Nottingham. And he is Len Grote. Hello, Len.
Hello to you, and how are you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you. What the hell are you doing in Portugal, Len?
I escaped here 7 years ago, I'm pleased to say. I've always escaped from places if I don't like them. I escaped from London after listening to Big L in the 1960s. I moved to Wales. I escaped from the northeast of England from Metro, which was a great station, but it was freezing cold up there. And eventually I escaped to Nottingham, which was my home for about 25 years.
So tell me the history of Solid Gold Gem.am as it now exists. Before we talk about what's been going on in the last 2 or 3 weeks, what's the story of how Gem.am started as an online station?
Well, as you'll know, in Nottingham, the IBA, as was, or the Radio Authority, whichever it was then, said to us, you can't have your medium wave anymore, we're going to take them away, you've just got FM. And we knew, of course, that most of the listeners were still on medium wave then, which was actually not a bad sound, and lots of the records that we played were designed to be heard on medium wave anyway. So we very quickly dreamt up Gem AM. I mustn't get the names mixed up. We dreamt up Gem AM. I created the name out of Great East Midlands because I was trying to make it a local station regionally at the time, which was, again, a bit ahead of its time, I guess. We got the older DJs from Radio Trent, transferred them to Gem AM. We did some fabulous jingles in Dallas, and lo and behold, 3 months later, we came on air, and within 3 years, we had 23% reach in Nottingham and 24% reach in Derby.
So what happened to it then? Because if it was as successful as you say, I'm sure that's true in terms of radar, why did the powers that be begin to pull it apart?
Well, sadly, the powers that be changed. We've been steered for years by Ron Coles, of course, who's legendary in British radio. I didn't have to worry about budgets. I just worried about the DJs, the music, the jingles, and the listener. That was the key thing about it. And for 7 years, Gem AM did very well. We were taken over by people who brought in Australian consultants, at which point I exited. I escaped, another word I like there, and I left because I
Is this GWR GCAP that you're talking about, Len?
It was that crowd, yeah. They brought in Australian consultants. They came in saying all the right things, but of course within 2 or 3 years, all of the people who wanted to be a bit independent left, and the people that remained there had to do as they were told. It was just the way that things were then.
This is the thing that always mystifies me. You're not a big fan of commercial radio post-ILR, and I know that from seeing your tweets and blogs. But if the station was as successful as you say, why would these commercially-minded people want to take it apart? I mean, surely it would have been making money for them as well.
Well, they started analysing everything from the music to the listeners. They did focus groups. And when you start listening to opinions garnered from the focus group, you lose gut feeling. I programmed the music for Radio Trent from 1978 to 1994. I never once did anything like a focus group. I actually held back that coming in. And we had tremendous ratings, 34% reach in a very competitive radio area because we had Radio Nottingham there, which is a great station. And basically, when the music was changed to cater for a younger audience, that audience was buying albums rather than singles. The great years of the single were the 60s and the 70s. By the 80s, people were buying albums. It all started to change.
So When you left British Radio, you went off and did all sorts of interesting things, including studying and writing books. What brought you back to music radio, but music online?
Well, I was actually moving to New Zealand, which sounds like a strange thing to do. And I was going there to do a course in art and design, but I thought maybe I can get a gig in New Zealand doing something on the radio. So my good friends at Saga, 106.6 FM, Paul Robey and David Lloyd, let me do a couple of shows, which I air checked, and I produced a reasonably sparkling audition CD, as of course as it was then. So I did that, and then a little bit later on, I came back to England, and I was asked to do some stuff at Smooth Radio. But the Solid Gold Gem AM idea came about as an internet station over 2 years ago, and somebody who'd worked on the original Gem AM decided that it was possible to do it all over again.
And is this Andy Marriott you're talking about?
That's the Andy Marriott. He's not only a great presenter, he's got a historic knowledge of music from the 20s right up to the 70s. He kind of cuts off at the Carpenters, basically. And he had worked on numerous stations in Great Britain. He managed to pull together eight of the original Gem AM presenters and contacted me and said, "Do you want to join us?" I thought, well, why not? This sounds like fun.
Now, my problem, and I'm roughly the same age as you, with oldies stations, is that after a while I feel that I'm living in a museum, and what I'd like to hear is some old records I grew up with, and maybe some newer records that I might like if I'm offered them, which I guess is what Radio 2 would say it does. What's the, as it were, mission statement of Solid Gold Gem AM?
Well, I think what Radio 2 does is very good. Given the amount of money it's got, it's not hard for it to achieve what it does. It's got a load of TV people and some DJs. We've actually got more DJs on Solid Gold Gem AM than Radio 2 has, because if you take out the TV people, of which there are many, the number of DJs is quite small. And most of those are people who've been around for a very long time who really want to play oldies, but they squeeze in songs that sound like old songs anyway. Half these modern songs, to me, sound like Steeler's Wheel from 1976. And the other day, I did hear an AC/DC track on the Ken Bruce Show. I turned the radio off. I thought, what's going on here? I don't think they go for a continuous audience. They go for you to take little bits of it.
Now, you've set up, as I understand it, two stations now. Having said that Solid Gold Gem was going off the air for a while, you're going to come back soon, but you're going to come back with a partner, a sister station, playing even older records. How's that going to work?
Well, one of the reasons that we disappeared was that we had to make a lot of decisions very quickly, and it didn't prove possible. We've now taken a few weeks to think things over, and this is all down to the technical stuff. We've got the people that can play the songs. We've got 9,000 songs in our library. So Andy Marriott has designed Serenade Radio, which is going to play music from the 20s to the 50s. And also our main technical person, Andy Siddell, who's actually based in Canada but worked in ILR for many years. He's also working on this and building websites and things. So it's actually very easy to split one radio station into two when you've got 19 presenters.
So Serenade is for music up to Elvis, and then Solid Gold Gem is for music from roughly Elvis to, I guess, roughly ABBA.
Well, Andy would say it's music up to Patti Page, but yes, you've got the right idea. Okay. We're playing music from 58 up to 82, a few other things as well, and a couple of specialist programs. But basically, we've got a team of 19 DJs who love the music, and we can get in 20 songs an hour, which is about 10 more an hour than Radio 2 play.
Now, one of the reasons you can do that, of course, is because you haven't got any commercials. That raises the obvious question, where's the revenue, Len, or is this just a hobby for a bunch of retired DJs?
Well, just between you and me, it is a hobby for a bunch of retired DJs, but of course they're all on wonderful pensions from the radio stations that employed them in the 70s, 80s and 90s.
How ironic.
Well, there's no shortage of money for this. It's actually the fact that as you get older, you think, have I done tomorrow's show yet? And every so often we kind of call up our friends at Jam Jingles in Dallas, Texas and say, how many jingles can we afford this month? So we've got the basic parts that make up a great radio station. The way it was in the 1960s and 70s, we've got the same formula. It's not dissimilar to Big L Radio London from 1964-65.
And is any of it live?
Well, it's live in terms of the fact that we can give time checks. We're even going to start doing weather. but the programs are voice tracked. It's very hard to do live radio on the internet, and we don't have the funds for that. So it's voice tracked, but I don't think our listeners really care because it's a friend on the radio. There's tons of music, there's news every hour, and it's basically free.
You mentioned David Lloyd a few minutes ago. Of course, David's company, Orion, owns Gem 106 in Nottingham, the FM regional station. Is it true that you gave David Lloyd his first job?
I can say I did, and I'm delighted at what he's done since, because I think when I took him on, I knew he was going to be exceptional. I've still got his audition tape in the hallway here at my home. Because David is one of those people that loves radio 24 hours a day. His Radio Moments is just stunning. And what he's done with the Orion stations, to me, is one of the most credible things about modern radio in Great Britain.
And you've still got that demo tape. Does a cash sum secure?
I think it might be on eBay in about 5 years' time if I need some money to buy some more American jingles.
Well, we shall look forward very much to that. And I had one other supplementary here. Somebody told me that you took the name Len Groat when you went to Metro because it would be redolent of the groat market in Newcastle. Is there any truth in that?
No, that's one of those things that's been going around for years. I was actually Len Groat on university radio in Swansea in the 1960s because if you worked on the university radio station, the academics wouldn't look very kindly on it, so I couldn't use my real name. It was called Action Radio, very, very 60s. And so I became Len Groat there, and it's kind of stuck, and it's been quite useful.
And when is solidgoldgem.am back online then, Len?
We're back online 5 a.m. on Monday the 15th of December. We've got a great lineup of people. I won't turn this into an advert, but suffice to say, we're excited to be back, and judging by Facebook, they can't wait for us to come back. We didn't know we had so many people out there until we disappeared. They all said, where have you gone? So we're delighted at the response.
It's the old BBC Radio 6 plan, isn't it? Disappear or threaten to disappear and then everyone loves you.
Well, the people kind of are a bit changeable. There's a huge choice now of listening to radio, so we're just part of their radio listening, but we hope that we'll build it gradually. We're never going to be huge, but we just like being there and we're having great fun doing it.
Len Groat, thank you very much for talking to Radio Today. Let's have some news now, shall we, from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Global Radio has done a deal for significant space on Digital One, even though the national multiplex is currently full. Ashley Tabor says Global will launch Heart Extra and other new services in the new year. Ben Cooper, Scott Taunton and Fee Glover were all honoured with Radio Academy Fellowships at the Radio Academy Hall of Fame lunch recently. The afternoon affair was hosted by Absolute Radio's Christine O'Connell, who was also inducted into the Hall of Fame. And Neil Fox has been rearrested this week on suspicion of a further 3 sexual assaults. He's been bailed until March next year, and it's likely he won't be back on air anytime soon. That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radio Moment.
We start this week 4 years ago. Morning, James Naughtie.
What's happening in the course of the next hour? Well, first up after the news, we're going to be talking to Jeremy Hunt, the Culture Secretary, about broadband.
James Naughtie on the Today programme this week 4 years ago. One of the many to do that with Jeremy Hunt's name.
I went out through that door and said with a rather strange look on my face, that didn't go out, did it? And someone said, oh, yes, it did.
Staying briefly on the Today programme, it's 26 years since it got a surprise caller.
The time is 13 minutes to 7, and let me bring you up to date with this morning's big news. Mr Gorbachev is cutting short his visit to New York and flying straight back to the Soviet Union because of the earthquake in Armenia. It means, of course, that he will not be coming to Britain. We have on the telephone now from 10 Downing Street, Mrs Thatcher, who I gather has just heard the news, Prime Minister.
Hello, good morning. I heard it on your news briefing. It was the first indication we've had, but of course we understand. And then I heard later that that you didn't know whether I'd heard, so I thought I'd better let you know I had.
Well, thank you for calling us. Have you been...
This week in 88, Margaret Thatcher ringing in to the Radio 4 Today programme to respond. Oh, to be producing that show on that day. This week, 2 years ago, the last Radio 4 news summary from Television Centre and the last Radio 1 newsbeat from Yording House.
Newsbeat!
Across at LBC, this week in 75, the first use of a radio telephone as an OB system.
Four gunmen have come out. The siege here has just ended 1 minute ago. There is still a great deal of activity here, but a flashing blue-lighted van has just...
I've seen a number of references to Jon Snow having used an early mobile phone, but in fact it wasn't. He was using a fairly standard Motorola two-way radio. LBC had a number of these, which reporters could use to keep in touch with the newsroom while out on a story, and they could also be put to air if necessary. And that's how Jon Snow covered the Balcombe Street siege.
Paul Easton recalling Jon Snow, and an early example of how LBC was tackling news in a rather more agile way than the BBC in those days. Meanwhile, down the road at Capital this week in 74, press reports suggested they'd overspent their launch budget by £125,000. 1997 now, and Chris Evans's Ginger Media and Apex bought Virgin Radio for £85 million.
I used to come in to do the show, and there'd be boxes of new computers in the hallway. And because I own the station, I'd be thinking, do we really need those? You know, and that's not what you need to be thinking, you know, just before you come and do a show.
Chris Evans on his purchase of Virgin Radio this week, 17 years ago. It's had three more owners since then. If you were on BBC continuity duty this week in 1936, it would have been a fairly interesting day.
This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness Prince Edward. At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted...
The DG, John Reith, introducing a king who didn't want to be a king anymore. This week, 78 years ago, radio broke that story. Let's step back even further than that just briefly now. This week in 1901, Marconi's first transatlantic transmission, Cornwall to Newfoundland.
We had brought two 15-foot balloons and six kites for the purpose of elevating the aerial. But the weather was terrible, and for a couple of days... We battled with the elements, one of the balloons being carried away by the gale, which snapped the heavy mooring rope like a piece of cotton.
Happy birthday, radio. This week in 1990, former DG Ian Trethowan died. He'd also been the director of radio, and he was in charge when Kenny Everett was sacked over that driving test comment.
Shelley passed because she crammed a fiver in his hand. I know these people.
Radio was in a difficult position at that time. It felt that... It was being very much pushed to the side by television. And when a television presenter was suddenly given to them as their managing director of radio, they didn't like that at all to start with.
Ian Trethowan, who died this week in 1990. 5SX came on air this week in 1924 from Swansea, the last in the original tranche of BBC local radio stations. Wilfred Goatman reflects.
When I arrived, they were still putting the red lights outside our studio. Just the one studio, you remember?
Yes, I do.
And... They were still hanging those beautiful yellow drapings over its plaster walls. And there weren't any shutters over any of the six windows of the studio. And the noise from the Union Street trams was bothering our engineers quite a bit.
Happy birthday to Radio in Swansea. Their studios were then described as the best in Europe outside London. So, with Johnny Walker back on Radio 2 this week 15 years ago...
We'll wake up and realise that these radio companies might be making money, but actually they're doing a terrible disservice to radio.
Daryl Denham to return to Hallam 9 years ago...
What? What's funny about that?
The first Twiggy show on Oak FM this week last year...
You see, I mean, it's only our third link, and now look what you've done.
And American DJ Al Pretty sacked this week in 57 from 190. KEX for playing this.
Oh, I'm dreaming of a white.
Said by the bosses not to be the spirit we associate with Christmas. Those are this week's
Radio Moments.
And that's your Radio Today programme for this week. Thanks to David Lloyd and Roy Martin and, of course, Len Grote. It's been a TDC production, and we'll have one more RTP before the end of the year. That'll be uploaded next Wednesday, the 17th of December. See you then.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.